Hello and welcome to Reddy and Newman's Daily Podcast, your go-to place for common questions about immigration to the United States. Reddy and Newman is a team of experienced business immigration attorneys who handle a host of visa categories and complex immigration cases. This podcast will provide an insight into our daily free conference calls hosted by our attorneys, as well as discussions on hot immigration topics. Please note that information provided is not to be construed as legal advice for your specific situation and does not constitute an engagement with Reddy and Newman PC or establish an attorney-client relationship. For specific advice on your situation, please contact an attorney. Here's your host.
Hi, this is Rahul Reddy. Today is September 11, 2019. The time is 4:30 p.m. For those people who are listening to this in podcast and other media, please check our timings at rnlawgroup.com. For those people who are listening to this in the conference call, please press star 6 to ask question. Please press star 6 to ask question. And we'll call the last four digits of your phone number for you to ask question, guys. 5518, you have a question for us.
Hi, I have two questions. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Hi, good evening. Hey, we are actually, I'm on H-1B and my wife is on H-4 and she already has an EAD right now. So we are trying to actually get a H-4 EAD extended, okay? So I filled the I-765 form. I have only one question. So we are actually bundling H-1B, H-4 extension and H-4 EAD question all together in one go, okay? So for the H-4 EAD I-765 form, there is one question asking, hey, put the H-1B's receipt number. So the goal is to get the H-4 EAD also adjudicated along with the other two, H-1B and H-4 as well. So what should I put in that field when they are asking the I-120?
Filing concurrently. Filing concurrently.
So, okay, I can just put filing concurrently and not the current I-129 receipt number, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, sorry for asking a dumb question, but filing concurrently, both the two words should be in there?
Yeah. Anything else?
Okay. So, yeah, just an extension to that question. So, same thing. So, my attorney at my company is filing the H-1B and the H-4 applications together, but they are not interested in doing the H-4 EAD extension on their behalf. So I have filled out all the forms, etc., and then I am actually going to send my documents over to them so they'll bundle the 765 along with that. So while we are doing this, is there any special form that we need to add along with this, or is it just all the required documents for 765 alone should be good enough?
That's good enough. Rest of the documents are there at H-1B and H-4. No more documents, no form need to be digged other than 765 and the required documents for 765. 6832, you have a question for us.
Yes. Can you hear me? Yeah. My situation is I'm on OPT cap gap right now, and my work authorization is still 30th, as a lot of cap gap are. So my attorney, replied to the H-1 RFE. This Friday they will reply with premium. So if I don't get any answer between like till 30th, so I have to stop working, right? And
I'm sorry, so how long is your H-1B pending?
It's not extension, so it is new H-1. So my attorney filed a new H-1 this time. It got
picked up. This is the Kota case.
And,
got it.
Yeah. And my question is, after suppose I get a result after 30th September, and if it is a rejection, then can I stay in U.S. or I will be gathering unlawful presence?
When is your OPT expired? Stem extension expired?
OPT expired in June 25th. I mean,
you will have to leave the country. You will have to leave the country immediately because it's been more than 60 days since your stem extension has expired. Technically speaking, are supposed to...
So my cap gap is till 30th September. I have
no,
but
your,
until 30
your stomach,
yeah.
You have worked, but your STEM extension expired in June, is it right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So typically you have 60 days after that to leave the country. So it's, now the question is that does the 60 days start at the time when the STEM extension expires or September 30th? Right now, in
yeah.
the civil system, they are ruling it as if that 60 days is from June. And or
okay.
whenever the H-1B is denied.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, I am still working right now because I have cap gap.
Right, but you cannot work after. So we're speaking about whether or not
yeah.
you can stay legally here after September 30th right
oh.
now, right? No,
yes,
I would
yes.
recommend that. Why don't you get it premium processing?
Yeah, yeah, I they already applied premium. They will apply premium processing on Friday with RAP extension. But I'm talking about the worst case scenario. If I don't get any result,
if you get a denial, you may have to leave the country, sir. You may have to leave the country because technically they are supposed to count 60 days on the denial. They are not doing it. They are going back to the STEM extension, and they're saying 60-day counts from there, or the day when you get the denial, whichever is the last date. 7872, you have a question for us. 7872, you have a question for us.
Yeah. So basically my situation is my husband filed H-1, and he's got in premium, and he's got approved, and we also applied H-4 EAD and H-4 along with it. And I'm still waiting on the response. And on August 2nd, we joined the litigation, H4 EAD,
mm-hmm.
H4 litigation with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a response on September 2nd, just before the peak, I think. And we got an RFP. Our H4 got approved, but for H4 EAD, we got an RFP stating that they need photos. From us,
okay.
We have sent those photos last week, and on September 5th, they changed the status that RFP has been received, but they haven't sent any response to that case, whether it got approved or denied or no. I mean, they haven't told us the decision yet, and my H-4 EAD is getting expired on September 19th. That means like next week. And what are the options for us in this situation?
If they don't approve, you have to stop. You have to stop working, ma'am.
Okay.
If they don't approve, you have to stop working.
Okay. Can I raise an expedite request by calling?
No, ma'am. This is litigation. It's already expedited right now. They should be. They may be approving it by October 2nd, but there is a chance they may not be approving it by September, whatever date you are telling about. You can change,
okay.
You can request expedited. When you do request an expedited, give them the case number too, that you filed a federal court case and this is pending in the federal court.
Okay, so where can I get that case? So you'll provide...
The copy of the litigation has been sent, copy of the litigation was sent to you.
Okay, it will be in that, okay. So we should mention that also to them? When we
Yeah, mention that. Give the case number, federal court, the court is... They already know that. That's the reason they're hurrying it. They cannot approve it without the pictures, unfortunately. They need to have the pictures.
Yeah. We already sent them. It has been a week that we have sent them.
Yeah. So you can request the expedited by giving the case number, ma'am. Let's see if it works out, okay?
Okay, sure.
6355, you have a question for me.
Yeah. Hi, sir. My friend H-1 got picked and it's approved in 2016. But when he went for stamping in Chennai, he got 221G query and it is not resolved yet. And if the new employer is ready to sponsor H-1B for him now, whether he is eligible for the CAP exemption, that is like he can process without lottery. Or...
When he got the H-1B, he was in this country, right?
But unfortunately, he was in India he went for stamping at that time and they issued the 221G in Chennai office, Chennai stamping.
So you didn't answer my first question. When he got the H-1B, was he in India?
Yeah, he was in India.
Okay. So when he got the H-1B approval, he was in India or he was here?
No, he was in India. He never traveled to US.
He's never in the country ever?
Yeah, ever.
No, he cannot... he is technically not counted toward the H-1B number. To count toward the H-1B number, he must have had a passport stamping at an I-94. He has neither of those things. So if he has neither of those things, the only way the other company can file is through lottery system next year, sir.
Oh, again, he has to process the lottery system. Again, he has to go through the lottery.
That's right. He has to go through the lottery system.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Did by any chance this company that filed a H-1B, did they file it with the in-house project?
Actually, they have submitted the client and everything, but unfortunately, we don't know what the 221G query also. Employer said like he responded to.
Is that a genuine client? Because we are suing a lot of employers on behalf of employees. We can collect some money from the employers if this is not a genuine client.
Oh, okay. I'll check that, sir. Actually, I'm not sure about that. He asked me this question.
Okay. So. Have him contact us, sir. 3094, you have a question for us.
Yeah. Hi, Rahul. I have two questions. So my first question is, I have I-140 approved with my old employer when I was doing the consulting. So they have applied it at the time what was the title at the time, but later I moved to different title after my I-140 got approved, and then after I switched my employer to new company, then so the new company is going to file the labor again. So, mm-hmm. So will I still retain the same priority date? See, or will the old labor still be valid since I moved the job to different, completely new job? I mean, although it's in the IT, but completely different job responsibilities and everything got changed after that.
Even if you move from a software engineering to a gasoline station manager, you could be able to carry the priority date. No problem with that.
Okay. And I have one more question. So my friend actually, my brother actually has applied for H-1 this year quota, and his H-1 was approved. But the contract is going to expire before October 1st of this year, that is September 27th. So do we need, but he got another opportunity already. So can he apply for amendment after October 1st, or do we need to apply before October 1st, or how does it work in that cases? If we go for a new client before, if the job is expiring, or the job contract is expired before the H-1 starts?
That's a tough question. So he doesn't have any other job right now? Or his job is not going to be extended?
His job is not going to be extended with the whatever the file we filed in the H-1, but he got a new job in the same MSA, just the next to the building.
Yeah, so file with that new job. Why can't he file with the new job?
Okay, but that need to be applied after October 1st or until one paycheck is run, or do we need to wait?
No, he can apply even right now. He doesn't have to wait. He can apply now.
We can apply the amendment right now.
Yeah, amendment plus extension, you can apply right now.
No. This is a
before
new,
joining.
New quota. This is a new quota, actually.
So you're speaking of. So he's not on H-1B right now.
No, he's not.
I'm confused, sir. His H-1B is already approved or not?
No. He currently is on OPD. This is a new cap H-1B quota this year. His H-1B was approved already. Got approved, but it will be starting on October.
Sorry. I missed it. Yeah, he could file an amendment, but when is, let me ask you this question, when is his H-1B expiring?
No, he just got the H-1B, right? He's on OPT right now. The H-1B
you said
October 1st, right?
When does it end? October 1st is it starts. When does it end?
It ends on 2022, 3 years.
Well, since the new job is within the same MSA, since the job duties are similar, the same IT mm-hmm. profession, he doesn't have to file any amendment. He's good.
Okay. Do we need to file any labor, sir, labor, anything?
No.
Do we need to post
no labor is required if it is the same MSA. No labor is required if it's the same MSA.
Okay. But do we go for stamping? Assume if you go for stamping next year, right? So
yeah. If he is going for stamping, though, he needs to get the amendment filed. That's what we would recommend. Have him consult a lawyer. That's better, okay? Guys, just ask questions for yourself and your friends, guys. 7214, you have a question for us.
Yeah, hi. Wanted to clarify one situation I have. So my I-94 expired on 15th June. Before mm-hmm. that, my company filed for my extension. H1 extension, sorry. It was an H1 extension.
Yes.
And last week, my H1 extension got an RFE. So my company is working on responding to RFE. And the date they have given to respond to that RFE is 1st of December, 2nd of December.
Uh-huh.
So the question I have is, how soon, two questions. One is, once I get adjudication, if I get a denial, how soon should I, do I have to leave the country so that I can start preparing for it now? And when do I start collecting my out-of-status leave?
The out-of-status will be collected from the day you receive the H-1B denial. It has nothing to do with your I-94 expiration. Even though you expired in June 23rd, your out-of-status will be counted starting from, let's say, in November you get the denial. Now, if I were you, I would leave in 2 to 3 weeks from the time I get the denial. Now, having said that, I am not telling you what to do. I'm just telling what I would do if I were you.
But my employer is going to, I mean, there will be no employment from the very next day. Correct? They will not pay me.
It's up to you.
For...
You can leave immediately. That's up to you.
Okay.
I'm not telling you. The only thing is that I don't want you to leave after 4 months or 5 months. If you're leaving, that's fine.
No, my wife wanted me to leave very next day. Question I was asking was...
That's what I'm telling. I won't leave very next day. It's okay. I mean, there's nothing, sky's not falling down.
Yeah, okay. In a couple of weeks, it's fine to wind up everything and leave.
That's right, sir.
Perfect. And then second...
Sorry, let me see. Go ahead. What is the second thing?
Yeah. One more follow-up question.
Go ahead.
Can I ask? Oh, sorry. So my wife... So let's say, is there a way for my wife to convert it to some other visa so that she can stick to this country while I go out of the country and resolve this whole thing, like visitor visa or student visa and
no,
anything?
She's an H-4.
That is right.
Yeah, since everything will be linked on the H-4 I-94 approval, and since she's not going to get the H-4 approval, she can't move to any other visa, so it's not practical to move to any other visa. Because when your H-1B gets denied, H-4 and H-4 is already expired in June. So now she cannot move. Maybe she could have moved if it was before her I-94 expires. But on I-94, everything will be relying on the H-1B approval. You should have got the decision before your I-94 expires so that you can make alternative plans, not after your I-94 expires. The next call is 1421. You have a question for us.
Hey, hi, Rahul. So I got my H-1B approval about 2 weeks before, and I have two questions following it. The consulate that has been notified as per my I-797 document is Hyderabad. Mm-hmm. So can I book my visa slot or my slot for my visa interview anywhere, like, for example, in Canada? That's my first question. And my second question
is, can I attend the interview?
Okay, great. Okay, and my second question is, can I attend the interview with a copy of my I-797 and not the original?
Yeah, we haven't seen any problem with the copies at this point of time. Because the State Department has the original, and they can look into all the things, whether you're coming with a fake document or not. It's easy for them to identify all those things. We haven't seen any problem. I would like to get the original, but we haven't seen any problem with people attending with copies.
Okay, and you also said I can attend the interview anywhere else in the world, not just restricted to Hyderabad, right?
No, not anywhere. A lot of countries don't allow third country nationals to attend the interview. Some consulates in Mexico and some consulates in Canada allow the third country nationals. You go to London, they won't allow you third country nationals unless you're residing there.
Okay. What if I'm a permanent resident of Canada? I can attend the interview in Canada, right?
That's right. If you're a resident of Canada, you can. If you're a resident of London, you can attend in London. But Canada, most of the Canada consulates are open up for third country nationals.
Okay, great. Thank you.
0546, you have a question for us.
Yes. Hi, sir. I have a question. I recently got a new job offer, and my new company has filed a H-1B transfer. I have a current I-797 with my current one. But my question is, because the H-1B transfer is in process, I have to travel to India. So will any of this affect my situation? Because I'm not planning to join the new company on my receipt. I will be only joining once it's approved.
While the transfer of the company is in progress, you're not supposed to travel. It's considered as abandon the process now.
Okay. So I can only travel once it's approved, but I cannot travel when it's in process.
That's right. Once it's approved, you're going to join the new company anyway, right?
Yes, but because I have my travel in progress, I was just thinking if I can go to India with my current I-797 and join the new company once I come back.
No, ma'am. No, you can't do that. If the process is in the pending, you should not do that. If the process is approved, yes, you can come back, but the job should be open with you with the new company. If the job is open, yeah, you can come back with a new 797. So have it expedited, get the premium processing done, and then make the travel.
Actually, the premium processing is already in process, but because it's a big organization, they are taking their own sweet time. And I have my travel dates that I have to really go on those dates. So I am like squeezed in middle because I cannot push them, nor I cannot cancel my travel
plan.
Well,
you have to pick one option, ma'am. The travel is important or job is important. Pick one of it and then choose one, go with it. 7323, you have a question for us.
Hey, Rahul. I'm an H-1B, and I used to work for a company here in the past through which I had my labor and I-140 certified. But 2 years back, I changed that company and then moved to a new company. And now I want to go back to my old company. So question I have.
2 years back, exactly what day you left the company?
I think my last day with my old company was on March 4th, 2018, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know if your previous company has withdrawn your I-140 or not?
I-140, he has not withdrawn, but H-1, I think he has.
That's fine. Okay. So you want to go back. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah. So I want to go back now. So my question is, for H-1, does he need to file a new H-1 transfer as in a regular process, or
yes.
Is there any special?
Yes, to file H-1B transfer just like any other company.
Okay, got it. And then my second question is, for the green card processing, right, does he need to file my labor and I-140 again, or can he reuse?
No, if they did not withdraw it, they don't have to file anything. You're good. 8081, you have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. So I got a job offer from Company B. I'm currently with Company A. So they filed H1, H4, H4 EAD for my wife in February. Everything was approved till 2022 February, but then I decided to stay back in my Company A. And my H1 with Company A is due for expiry in December, and they are ready to submit. Right, so they are redoing my wife's H4, and I am, tagging along with a new H4 EAD as well, because February and December is like, 10 months, right? 10 months of extra EAD. So it made sense for me to go forward. So while I'm filling the forms and I'm reviewing the application, right, for H4 and H4 EAD, I have a couple of questions. So within the H4 extension form, they're asking for, in the I-539, they're asking for expiry date of the, or current H4 status or something like that, right? So do we put her as, along with my H1 expiry with the current employer A, or because she has an approved 797 that belongs to her because it's H4 and it's beyond my company A's expiry, should we put that, right?
Good question. I don't think so it should matter for USCIS to adjudicate the H4. It's up to you. If you want to disclose the information to the company, I would put the expiry date of 2022.
My employer knows. That's not a problem.
I'm sorry?
my employer knows about company B, and I got a counter.
Yeah, I would page. then I would put the expiry date in 2022.
Okay, and then they also ask for employment information in the same I-539 form, right? Towards the end, we make an annotation on which employer, how much is the weekly income, and then they put the EAD number, right? Do we give the EAD number of the old one? Is it still valid till December, or do we give the EAD number of the new?
This is for the support of the H-4, is it, right? How are you going to support yourself, is it, right? Yeah, we normally put a generic statement in there. The spouse will support it.
No. We don't give any details. Support. In H4 form, there is a field that says, in the current status, were you ever employed? If so, you have to explain it at the end of the form.
One second. I'm looking at the form. Go ahead. Now, if she's employed, you can mention she's employed. And what are you telling in that particular thing?
So this is what the lawyer filled, right? They said it's employed, and then they gave employment title, company, and then weekly salary. And then they also mentioned, approved via, and then they gave the EAD card number. So when they made the draft of this form, they gave the card number from the company's old petition,
previous,
which expires in December.
You can give the new ones.
Okay, so that doesn't hurt, right? Because the problem is H4 EAD, the sensitive situation is if they go by the rule, they only have to approve if it is within the 6 months, right?
Six months.
The problem.
No, they're not going by the rule right now.
Okay,
single H4 EAD denial, if it was filed like years and filed more than 6 months ago, we haven't seen any denial, sir. Not yet.
So you prefer me to be, upfront and give the full disclosure, right? Like give new date.
That's right.
And then on the same note, should we include the I-797 approval that we got from Company B as well that, supports this argument, and then a copy of the new EAD card?
Yes, go ahead. Submit it.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Thanks. Last question, though. So the first caller asked about, filing concurrently or concurrently in the question 29 for I-765, right? So it only takes 13 characters. I mean, I actually, followed, your guidelines, and in parallel during this call, I was trying to enter it. Concurrently wouldn't fit because Acrobat Reader is asking for 13 characters. Filling concurrently wouldn't go because it's beyond 13 characters.
Which page is that? Exactly. I'm at the 765 right now.
I-765. Give me one second. I-765, question number 29. So that would be, one second, page... page 3 of 7.
Referring to 26C. Short format.
Okay. All right.
Short format.
Okay. So like
short format.
Filing. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You can short format. That's better. This is the last call, I guess. The time is about 5 o'clock for those people. I'll take the last call. If not, you can make an appointment with me or any of my colleagues at RN Law Group. Go ahead. 3432. You have a question for us.
Yes. Hi, Rahul. I spoke to you about a week back and explained my situation. My extension for H1 and my wife's H4 extension was filed. In between, she had to go to India, and then she came back on B2. And now the approval of both of us has come, but there is a discrepancy in her I-94. And you had suggested that I should visit any port of entry and have the revalidation done. So today I went to the area port of Jacksonville where the cruise ships goes to the adjacent adjoining islands, and there the CBP officer, he checked the I-94, which has been issued by USCIS, and I explained that her B2 expires on October 2nd, and we need to get this revalidation done. So he checked everything in detail, and he says that this I-94 issued by USCIS supersedes the I-94 which the CBP has issued, and I do not need to take any action on it.
So did he give an I-94 or not?
No, he did not. He said you already have an I-94 from USCIS.
Yeah, when you go to the problem with the land ports is that, or the ship ports is that, sometimes they allow people to come back on the same I-94. If you fly, they do it differently than when you go to cruise.
Okay, so I did not go on the cruise, but I just go to the, I went to the ship port and spoke
okay,
to them, my
that. So,
appointment,
so,
and
so
then
you,
I explained
you,
my situation.
You have to go to Mexico, you have to fly to Mexico and come back. You can't just go there and they'll give it to you.
Or through the land port or the airport, both.
You have to fly to Cancun. That's a better way. And stay at least 48 hours outside. Not 48 days, 48 hours outside.
So, Do I also have to go, or just my wife can go?
Only your wife can go. You don't have to go.
And would the land port in San Diego, would that be also an option?
No, sir. I would recommend that she flies in, not land port.
Okay. And is there a time limit because her present I-94 B-2
okay. It may be better to have a consultation for you and your wife with a lawyer, and then my appointments are scheduled online, and then I will guide you exactly how to go, where to go, and all those things. Okay? Thank you guys for coming in. The next conference call will be tomorrow at 11:30. Sorry we couldn't take all the people.
Thank you for listening to Reddy and Neuman Daily Podcast. We sincerely hope that you've taken something valuable out of it. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information or if you want to make an appointment, check out our websites, rnlawgroup.com and immigrationgirl.com. Have an awesome day.